one of the things that I do as a pastor, a senior pastor of this church, I pray about, Lord, where are you taking Sojourn? Where are we going? What do you, I can't be all these other churches. I'm not designed to be. We're not designed to be every other church on this hill. There's a lot of churches on this hill. It's like you can't swing a stick without hitting a church over here in Carrollton. I mean, there are churches everywhere. It's not true. Churches everywhere. We were the other night, and so some lady, we were having dinner the other night, and lady, she goes, I go to Bentry. I go, I know Libin and Stacy, they're great friends or whatever, and Pastor Jack and all these different ones. We pray for all the churches on this hill. But the truth is, we can't be like them. We're not trying to be like them. We're not trying to compete with them. We are the body of Christ. God has called us to be the body of Christ. We're like, what denomination are you? I don't, we're interdenomination, we're non-denomination. What denomination are we? I'm just telling you, we are the one who has the common denominator, which is Jesus. We love Jesus. We are followers of Christ. God has called us to follow him. Amen. And my prayer for you is that you be covered by the dust of your discipler, one who's discipling you. And so we're a little bit different. Not saying we're better than, but we're just a little bit different. there was a guy one time. I was getting ready to do a funeral for his mom, and he said, "I heard about you guys." He goes, "Now I don't want none of that Pentecostal stuff going on, you know, with my mother's funeral and stuff." And I didn't even bat an eye. And I go, "Well, we'll keep the chickens at bay this time, and the snakes, we'll keep them at bay." But the truth is that we believe in the power of the Holy Spirit in this church. We believe in the gifts of the Spirit. We don't believe that they passed away. We believe that God still heals. He still delivers. He still sets the captives free. He's still after lost souls. We still believe that hell is still hot, and we're trying to stop people from going there. Is that true? We believe that God is restoring and building his church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. We believe that Satan has been defeated, and that God has given us the victory through Christ Jesus our Lord. We believe that Jesus died and rose again on the third day, and all power, all dominion, all might has been given unto him, and he reigns forevermore. And he alone is the head of the church. He alone is the one who's building and running the church. And some of you go, have you seen the church? It is in a mess. You need to talk to the contractor. Like, he's still building his church. He is still building his church. Have you seen the things that are going on in the church? I'm looking. I can see the things that are going on in the church. But I'm not looking just at that. Because if I look at that, I can get depressed. That's why he says, looking unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. If I look at this stuff that's going on in this world, I'll get depressed. Bill Johnson says, I'm always 6 minutes away from depression. I'm like, what did he mean by that? Listen to the news long enough. They don't even be telling the truth. They don't even tell the truth. And they just say what. So you can listen to the news, or you can listen to the good news of the scripture, the good news of Jesus Christ. And that's what I love about last week. Did you guys enjoy Andrew Cannon? Man, I'm telling you, I can't help get around that guy. I thought that he was just that way on stage. I thought he was just that anime. He is that way at dinner. He was like, Pastor Chris, this meat is so good. I mean, and he's just so expressive. I'm like, it's just a piece of chicken. You know what I'm saying? It ain't even fried. You know, black people like fried chicken. It ain't even fried. The truth is that he's excited about souls. He's excited about, I'm praying, because I'm hoping to do a conference at the end of this year that has to do with Robbie and them being able to come in and show us how to actually be activated to go out and win souls. You know what the Bible says? You want to be wise? The Bible says he who winneth souls is wise. It's true. It's what it says. You look it up. So that's where we are. So as I begin to pray about what God is saying for Sojourn, a good way to share it with you, because if God has called you to be here, God has called you to be a part of this body. And I'm not talking about just, I attend there. I'm tired of hearing people say, I attend there. Just, yeah, you attend on Sunday mornings, but we are the church. You know that God's called us to be the church. We don't just attend church, but to be the church to the unchurched. Not just, sometimes we got to be the church to the church, because they have forgotten how to church. Sometimes the church has forgotten how to church. And so God wants, I'm telling you, we have to realize that it's not just about attending a service. I said this before, if you're new here, I said this before, I'm not just interested in you coming and sitting in a seat. I'm not interested in that at all. I do want you to come on Sunday. I want you to come on Wednesday night. I want you to come because we're giving out good food here. This is the word of God. It's not my opinion. I'm giving out the word of God. So we have good food here to be given. But I'm more interested in you growing as a disciple of Jesus Christ. That's my goal. That's my goal. It's that you individually would grow as a disciple, a follower of Jesus Christ. I'm not talking about just someone who like to casually attend. Somebody told me the other day, he goes, you know, I'm a CEO Christian. I was like, what is that? You know, I come at Christmas, Easter, and other holidays. That's what he said to me. He goes, you know, I'm a CEO. I was like, no, there's only one CEO and his name is Jesus. And then so it's more than that. But are you growing as a disciple of Jesus Christ? And that's a question you need to ask yourself every day. What does it cost me? The Bible talks about that. I'm not going into today, but it costs to be a disciple of Jesus, a follower of Jesus. I'm talking about a true follower of Jesus. We're not talking about somebody just like act like a Christian, part-time Christians. I'm talking about a follower of Jesus. You ask yourself, am I following? The Lord says, the scripture says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your strength, your mind. And then the second one is like unto it. Love your neighbor as yourself. That's the commandment that he tells us. Are we following after Jesus? Because our deal is making disciples who make a difference. Hadn't changed since the beginning of the church, when it started in Pastor Terry's living room 37 years ago. Actually, we just had a birthday. We were 36 years old, our church, and we're still growing. Amen. Raise your hand if you can remember when some of you aren't there. You remember what you were doing? You were 37, 36. You might remember. Some of y'all had to be like, some of y'all is like, I don't remember. The other day I was signing up for something. I was actually at the gun club and I was signing in, and you know how you have to put the date and you have to scroll? Used to I could just do it a couple of times. Now I'm having to scroll. It looked like The Price is Right. That thing. I'm like, wow. Just keep on scrolling to try to find 1977. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, wow. Boy, you're getting old, you know. But the truth is that God is good. Let's pray together. Lord, I thank you for your word. As we dive into it, I pray, Lord, that we give you, Lord, free access to dive into us. Your word is a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. So I thank you, Lord, that as we get into, Lord, the scriptures, Lord, I continue to pray that the scriptures will get into us. Lord, I love this church. I know you love your church. You love your bride. Your word says that you've done so much, even that you've given yourself up for her. So I pray, God, that you would help us, Lord, to continue, Lord, to go with where your word is, because it's living. Lord, it's not just black ink on white paper or red ink on white paper or just words on a screen. Lord, it is living. Matter of fact, your word says that your name is the word of God. You are the word. And in the beginning was the word. So we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Habakkuk chapter 2, we're going to start at verse 1. And as I set this up, Habakkuk is seeing something in the people and things going on in society and things going on in the world. And he realizes that there's something missing. So he asks God some questions. And then he makes a prayer at the end. So I'm not going to read all three chapters. It's only three chapters, but I'm just setting it up for you because he's asking the Lord questions. And then as he asked him, this is where he says, I'm going, and this is his response to the Lord. And then the Lord answers him. So this is chapter 2, verse 1. I will stand my watch. How many know we need watchmen on the wall? We need watchmen. I mean, raise your hand if you know we need watchmen. He said, I will stand my watch and set myself on the rampart and watch to see what he will say to me. Now that's a interesting array of words where he says, and I will watch to see what he will say to me. I will watch to see what he will say to me. Wouldn't he say, I will listen or I will hear what he will say to me? But he says, no, I'm watching because the things that I'm seeing here are not, they're trivial. The things are not good because I'm going to watch to see. Here's the thing I want you to understand is once you get a revelation from God and it changes you, whether you hear it or you see it, it then becomes your revelation and revealing. And when that revelation comes to you, then you are able to see exactly what God is saying. Amen? Whether it's in your spirit, whether it's in your mind, but once the word of God comes, and or the word of God or a vision or whatever, he said, I'm going to watch because I need to get something. I need to hear, but also I want to see what he's saying. And my dad, when he would say something, I would say something to him and that he didn't know about, he would say something crazy like, I see, said the blind man. And I was like, why do you always say that? He goes, it's a metaphor, never mind. Anyway, so the truth is that he's watching. Watch and see what he will say to me and what I will answer when I am corrected. Now that's an interesting array of scriptures of words too, because he said, not only will I watch to see, but I'm also going to respond when I am corrected, because this is the premise. I'm seeing something in the natural that does not add up in the spiritual. There is something that I'm seeing going on in the people, in our people, and the things that's going on in society, things that are going on in the world, things that are going on in our neighborhoods, things going on right here that is not adding up. So I know that he is good and that he is perfect and that he knows everything. I know that. So something is missing. And so I know that he's not wrong, so it must be me. So I'm ready for him to correct my vision. How many know we need a corrective vision? I'm ready for him to correct my vision so that I can see what he sees. That's what's wrong with the church, is we're not looking at things the way he's looking at it. I would even go as far as to say, you're probably not looking at your situation the way that he's looking at it. And the only way for you to look at the situation that God sees is for you to be repositioned to where he is so that what he sees, you can see also. So you need to pray, Lord, why don't you reposition me? I may be in a bad position. I may not be in a position where I can see, but Lord, move me, relocate me, move me so where I can see the thing that you are seeing. Because I'm not looking at, I'm looking at this unsaved child. I'm looking at this marriage. I'm looking at these finances. I'm looking at the world. I'm looking at the news, and something is missing. Something is missing. I know you're not wrong. Somebody's wrong. Something is wrong. Somebody's wrong. And so he said, I'm standing to see how he's going to correct my vision. How he's going to correct my vision. And here's the truth. A lot of people, they don't like that C word, corrected. Nobody wants to be corrected. You know what I'm saying? Oh, I tell you guys all the time. Vanessa and I love that woman with all my heart. And she is my not just my rock, but she helps me. She don't let me, honey, you're gonna go out of the door like that. Be like, no, you know, I'm gonna go check the mail, come in and change. I just put this on to go check the mail. Or she makes sure that all you guys, some of y'all come up to me and y'all say, Pastor Chris, that's such a great sermon. That was so good. I'd be like, thank you. You know, just thank you. But Vanessa would get in the car and she'd be like, all right, you ready, big boy? here's where you need to change. Here's where you need, I mean, she does. And so you know what? I can receive that from her. You know why? Because I know she loves me. She's on my team. She's trying to help me be better. That's good. Some of y'all don't want to, you don't want to hear correction just because you don't want to be corrected because you think it's something against you. I know it's going to get quiet in here when I said that, but the Lord told me to say it anyway. You don't like correction. Nobody just wakes up in the morning going, correct me. Nobody is waking up in the morning going, correct me. But I'm going to tell you, if you want to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, you're going to need to hear some correction. If you're going to see things the way Jesus has called us to see it, you're going to need to correct your vision. Well, how are you going to do that? How is my vision going to be corrected? Here's what I'm going to say. I'm going to drop this bomb on you. You need a biblical worldview. You need a biblical worldview. What is that, Pastor Chris? It is where you look at everything through the lens of Scripture. Everything. Through the lens of Scripture. It's like, what do you mean? Well, government, through the lens of Scripture. Your marriage, through the lens of Scripture. Your life, through the lens of Scripture. Put your glasses on. Put your lens on so that you can see what he is wanting to show you so that we can be who he's called us to be and do the things that he's called us to do. Amen? That's what he said. So he says, what I'm corrected. Then the Lord answered, this is verse 2, man, that all that for one verse. Lord answered me and said, write the vision, make it plain on tablets, that he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end, it will speak and it will not lie. I want you to stop here just for a second. I wrote this down. Some of you have been given some prophetic words, some of you some promises from the Lord, some things that he's said to you that's not come to pass. I want to tell you, wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Wait on him. Wait. He's just like, well, I've been waiting a long time. Well, they that wait upon the Lord, they that wait upon the Lord. Say it with me, they that wait. They that wait upon the Lord, they shall renew their strength. And this one not only going to renew their strength, but they'll mount up with wings as eagles. They'll run and not be weary. They'll walk and not faint. Wait on him. I'm telling you, wait, because everybody else, all the naysayers, all the haters, all the people that have been drinking haterade and trying to say that you're not going to make it, that it's not going to be good. Everything that you've done and not accomplished is not going to be good. You're not good enough. You don't have what it takes. I'm telling you, wait for it, because in the end, the vision that God has given you is going to speak. And it's not going to lie. Let everybody else be a liar, but God's word be true. And what he says about you, what he has said, it will come to pass, because he is a God of his word. And he watches over his word to perform it. Some of you have been waiting a long time. It's like, man, I've been waiting for my child to come back to the Lord. I've been waiting for this. I've been waiting for it. The Lord's like, man, I'm telling you, in the appointed time, the vision I've given you, the word I've given you, the dream I've given you, it's going to not only happen, but it'll speak and it won't lie. And then everybody else will be found a liar. But God's word be true. Do you know the best place to hear the word of God? The best way to hear the word of God is coming out of your own mouth. Coming out of your own mouth, speaking the word out of your own mouth. Some of you have, I'm just going to say this to you. This is not in this one in the notes, but some of you have cursed your situation by the words that you speak out of your mouth. Said it, it's out of your mouth. And I want to tell you, I'm going to tell you the same thing on the lie that God told Adam. Who told you that? Who told you that? Who said that you don't have what it takes? Where'd that come from? Who said that? Who told you that you have the mind of Christ? You get to think his thoughts. You're accepted and beloved. You're blessed with every spiritual heaven and the heavenly places. You've been given everything that pertains to life and godliness. He's gone before you. You're blessed in the city. Blessed going in, coming out. When you lay down, when you get up, you're blessed. He owns a cattle on 1,000 hills. He loves Texas. You have what you need to be who he's called you to be and to do what he's called you to do. It'll speak and won't lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come to pass. It will not tarry. Behold, the proud, his soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. Say that with me. The just shall live by faith. Say it again. The just shall live by faith. Some of you are like, well, I'm not just. Yes, he's made you just through Christ Jesus. You are the righteousness of God through Christ Jesus. He's made you righteous through the blood of Jesus. So you are. So here's what I want to tell you. We can write, if you're taking notes, some of you need to take notes. I want you to know that if you're not taking notes, Colonel West is back there in the back, making sure that you know, so, and he's preaching in a couple of weeks. So I'm sure he's going to say something about it. And so, if you need to take notes, here's some things. That the Lord spoke to me, and I want you to hear this. The Lord spoke to me and said that this was going to be a trust me year. Now, here's what I mean by that. This is the first point. He said, this is going to be a trust me year. This is the vision. Trust me. Here's what some of you are thinking. Well, don't you have to trust the Lord every year? Don't you have to trust the Lord day by day? Don't you have to trust him? Yes, you do have to trust him. But I'm saying this year is going, I'm just going to go ahead and say, I know you're just like, well, this is a year of the Lord's favor. I know that. But I'm telling you, I believe that this is going to be a tumultuous year. I think it's going to be a rough year. I don't think we've even seen where, and somebody's like, well, you're supposed to have good news. The gospel is good news. Jesus has paid. It's really, really good news. But I'm going to tell you the reason why this is going to be a trust me year is because you're going to have to trust God like you've never trusted him before. And he's like, well, what do you mean? There's things that you just like, well, sometimes some things will come easy. You know how you grow up when you're growing up? There were things that would come easy because your parents did everything for you. And then my kids are doing this thing right now called adulting, and they don't like it. Vanessa and I love it. But they don't like it. They don't like it. Just, you know, my son, and I'm sure he's going to watch this. My son's watching. He goes, Dad, I paid this bill. And you know what they did? They sent me another one. I just paid it. And they sent me another one. We go, welcome to adulthood. Those bills keep coming, son. They don't stop. They keep coming. Are you serious? But I paid it. Well, pay it again. You know, I'm just telling you, so things come hard. But you know what? As you grow as a disciple, things should oppose somewhat to cause you to grow. If there's no opposition, there's no growth. Even a seed has to push through the ground to be able to grow. Is it true? It has to push you to the ground to grow. And so as we're going, this is going to be a trust me year. And here's what the Lord spoke to me. I wrote this down. It's one of the things he said to me, that not only is this a trust me year, but it is a trust me with turn by turn directions. That means you're going to have to ask the Lord for every direction for where you are to go. What are you supposed to do? So we're just like, everything? Do I need to ask the Lord about everything? Do you notice that when David inquired of the Lord that he won battles, but when he didn't inquire of the Lord that he didn't win battles? You inquire of the Lord. He knows. He knows exactly who you are. He created you. He knows what you need. He absolutely knows your future. He knows the end from the beginning. Ask him. You're going to have to do. So when I get in the car and somewhere I don't know, I went to a funeral yesterday and my assistant put in the address. I put it in and I'm telling you what, Siri or whoever it is, or Chevrolet or whatever, they give me turn by turn direction. So turn here, turn there, turn this. At the next light, no, go through this light, and at the next light, make a left. And so I'm getting turned by. I'm telling you, this year is going to be just like that. You need to, Lord, what are you saying here? Because before I would just go off on my emotions. Before I would just go off of what I think. Before I would just go and just half cock and just do whatever and just go. But Lord, I'm going to sit still and say, Lord, what is it that you want me to do? How do you see it? What do you want? Where do you want me to go? How are you moving? Because I only want to go where you want me. Remember Moses? He said, I'm not getting off this mountain unless your spirit go before me. We're not moving. Because how else are they going to know that we're the people of God? Not moving. We're not going. I'll stay up here. We stay here. You like this tent? We stay here, Lord, because I'm not going anywhere unless you go. They move with the cloud and they move with the pillar of fire. You can't stay camped out at one place. You got to move where the Spirit of God is moving. Are you hearing this? Yes. It's a vision. So we're moving. We're moving. Turn by turn direction. You know what I love about the Lord? Same thing. And I'm sure your GPS doesn't do this. When I make a wrong turn, it doesn't say, you idiot. I can't believe you made it. It just says recalculating. Doesn't it? It just says recalculating. Here's the truth. The Lord is able to recalculate you and move you where he needs you to go to get you where you need to be. You hear me? So trust me year, turn by turn directions. Here's something else he said, that you're going to need to lean in and lean on Jesus. What I mean by lean in, you ever hear somebody who can't hear and they have to lean in to listen? You guys have seen me do that. lean in to be able to hear what the voice of God says. Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear what the Spirit of God is saying to the church. God is speaking to the church. He's speaking. The question is not, is he speaking? The question is, are you listening? Yeah. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening, is hearing what you're saying. And then when you lean on, you're going to need to lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways, acknowledge him so that he can direct your path. This is going to be also, you write it down, it's going to be a year of being a people of the Word of God. The Word of God. Here's what I mean. Obviously, it's like, well, we come here to get scripture. I'm talking about the Word, that you getting in the Word, and not only getting in the Word, but the Word getting into you. You hear what I'm saying? The Word of God. I'm saying it's living. The Word of God. Us getting into the Word. You reading it for yourself. No more just like, well, sometimes I get in the Bible, Pastor Chris, and it's just dry, and I just don't know. I'm telling you, ask the Holy Spirit to illuminate the scriptures to you. I don't open it up, but I was like, Lord, I'm about to open this word up. I know it's living, a lot of moving parts. So I need you to get through. I need you to tell me, relate to me, give me, illuminate to me the thing, the whatever it is I'm reading. I need you to do so I can see what you're showing me today that will give me life. So that there's life in the scriptures. Amen. Reading the word. Okay. Here's what I've sent this out to our leadership team, but this is going to be a year where this body of Christ, and I'm talking about Sojourn though, especially Sojourn, you need to be connected. You need to be connected. The church needs to be connected. We want you to connect in. That's why I was saying earlier. I'm not trying to just get you to have, if you're going to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, we're going to do this together. Walking together as a disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Man, I'm telling you, I love our little family. You know, there's six of us. And it's when the kids were little, we would have supper. We'd have supper at a certain time. We get in, Vanessa would be like, supper's ready. Everybody would come in. I was first. Everybody would come in. And we get in. Now that they're all grown and doing their own thing, I'm just like, I come home and I'm like, where's everybody? Well, Braden's at Pho, you know, again, that's their favorite place. Ainsley's over at In-N-Out, you know, and then there's just, you know, just Luke, I don't know where he is. I'm tracking, you got Life 360 and everybody's doing this. All the cars are doing that. And I'm telling you what, I'm just like, when we're trying to get everybody together, it's hard. So Vanessa's just like, we have a hard fast, you know, where family get together. We get together, everybody come in. And there's no excuses, you better come in. I told the kids, I'm like, you know what? You don't want to have to answer to her, so you better just go ahead and just be there. But I'm telling you, as a family of God, God's calling all the kids together. Amen. Calling us together to be able to walk together as a disciple of Jesus Christ. You need to be connected. The reason why we have events and different things going on is not just to have events. We're having them because we believe that you believe you're supposed to be here. We're going to walk together as a disciple. And here's what I also want to say. That means that you can't be a lone ranger, in the body of Christ where you just be like, I'm just going to get in, get the word and get out. You need to have relationships in your life. So I'm going to ask you three questions. Number one, listen, who is speaking into your life? Who do you have speaking into your life? Who gives you advice? About living life? Who has an active access to you to be able to speak into your life to tell you? Now listen, not just tell you you're good today. Oh, you look wonderful today. Oh, great. Oh, you look so great. I'm telling you, the hard things. Who do you have in your life that will tell you things you don't want to hear? I tell you about the people in my life. I got so many people in my life tell me the things I don't want to hear. Sometimes I'm just like, you got anything good today? You know, I'm like, but they do. They're like, Chris, you can't say that. Chris, that was error. You're thinking wrong. So I had somebody tell me the other day, it was a while ago, they were just like, hey, that, I heard you say this. Maybe that imprinted something onto you as a kid. Is that something in your life that you may need to change? Well, I had never thought about that before. I got people in my life telling me that stuff all the time. But you know why? Because let me just be honest with you. Can I just tell you the reason why I have people speaking in my life? I'm crazy. I'm absolutely crazy. And not only am I crazy, I don't trust myself. Some of y'all are just like, no, I heard this thing the other day that said you're supposed to follow your heart. You just follow your heart. The heart above all else is deceitfully wicked. Yes. You don't follow your heart. Come on. Follow Jesus. Yes. He will never lead you astray. Follow after Jesus. Talking about just follow. That's what's wrong with these snowflakes today. I'm telling you, just go. This is where socialism and all that crazy stuff coming from. Well, we should. What does the word say about everything? That's what if I could walk up behind you, and you know what I'm saying? If I could like pour it. I mean, I don't know. Feed it. I'm trying my best. You cannot live by bread alone. You have to live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. There's no Rubik's Cube. I don't know. But you got to follow after the word of God. What is he saying? It's living. It's not just a book. It's a living word of God. You got to have people in your life speaking into your life. Telling you the things that you don't want to hear. The things like, hey, why are you thinking that way? Well, I don't know. Don't do that. Well, why not? The Bible tells me. I'm just saying. You got to have people in your life. Pastor Terry's preaching at another church this morning. He's one of them. Gerald's one of them. Dudley's one of them. Some of you try to be them. Stop it. I got enough. But only you can answer that. Who do you have speaking in your life? Who you have telling you those things? You got to be connected. Soldier, we want you to be connected. We don't want you just going to church. Encourage you to go to church. Here's another question. Who's speaking in your life? Not only who's speaking in your life, here's another one. Somebody speaking in your life, who are you pouring into? Because you just get people speaking into your life, you just become a pond and get stagnant. But you need to be someone pouring in, and then you need to be pouring out. Who are you pouring in? Here's another thing. How are you connected to the body? This church, somebody's just like, well, I go to Sojourn. I go to Sojourn Church. I attend to Sojourn Church. What does that mean? What do you mean by that? Do you mean come to church, hear a sermon, hear Pastor Jen do great worship? What do you mean by that? Do you attend? Are you involved? Vanessa has this thing in our house. She goes, if you see me cleaning the house, you see me moving, you need to be moving. It really is rare that she's up, doing some stuff, whatever. And she's up doing stuff, whatever. And then I'm sitting on the couch watching the game. We watch, Vanessa's a big sports fan. We watch sports together. When she sit down, everybody's like, okay, everybody else can sit down. But there have been times where I was laying on the bed and I hear her walk in the room and I jump up and start acting like I'm doing stuff. I've done that before. Some of y'all men laughing, but you know you do that. You know you do that. Rosalind, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. But I'm just saying, I know some of y'all do hear I hear footsteps. And so the truth is like, here, I'm gonna ask you that question. Are you attending? Because yeah, we got great attendance and we are growing. I mean, yeah, look around, we're growing. We're a growing body. We're a thriving, growing church. And new people coming all the time. But are you attending or are you involved? Do you just attend the men's ministry or are you going to some of the life groups? The life groups are designed to help you be better men. Women's ministry, it's like you think they're just you think Vanessa is just getting groups together to just bake bread? At some point she's trying to get the bread of life into you. So that you can be who God's called you to be. So you need to be connected. That's why we have things like Next Steps. We had Lady Liberty talk about Next Steps. And that's why we have Setting the Captives Free coming up. That's why we have these different things going on, because we want you to be involved. We need to be a tight-knit family. Somebody's like, well, what's going to happen if the church grows bigger than this auditorium? And we'll, Lord, please, whatever, we have to go to two services or whatever. But here's the truth. The truth is this. I don't want to lose the family essence that we have right now. I don't want to lose that. I want us to stay. I mean, do you realize every time I step up on this stage, I and it's a true story. The Lord knows this. I have to fight back tears sometimes because I love the sight of you. I love the fact that you're here. But it doesn't stop there. Where is your internal growth? You growing. You want your kids to grow. Don't you? Don't you want your kids to grow? I'm gonna be a grandparent this year. I'm gonna be a grandparent, and somebody said it's a wonderful club to be in. I don't know. I'm gonna find out, because I know one thing. I'm gonna hand them back to them all sugared up. You know what I'm saying? I'm telling you what. And yeah, I'm gonna say stuff too. I'm gonna say stuff. I can't wait. I'm gonna be like, you know what? Let me tell you what your daddy did. Let me tell you what your daddy did. I can't wait. I'm gonna be like, oh, you dropped that on the floor? What are you gonna do about that? You know, I'm like, ooh, I can't wait. I got stuff lined up. I got notes. But there's everything in me. Listen to me. You're laughing, but there's everything in me to see that grandchild grow and be. His name is Oliver. They've already named him. His name is Oliver. And so, and I've already picked Vanessa, and I've already picked our grandparent name. She's gonna be Cookie, and I'm Captain. So Cookie and Captain, that's right. I can't wait. You can call me Captain. I tried to get Vanessa to call me that. She's like, you're the captain of your own ship, but I ain't on that. But grandkids can call me Captain. But here's the deal. The truth is, I want that child to grow. Do you hear me? I want them to grow. Don't you want your children to grow? And not just physically. You want them to grow internally, mentally. You want them to be stable. You want them to be an asset to society. You want them to grow into the person that God's called them to be. Is that true? You want them. I'm telling you, when my kids were born, Vanessa, you and I remember this. When they were born, we were just like, you're going to be world changers. Oh, you're going to change the world. I pray over you right now. You're going to change the world. Then when they got older, I'm like, if you could just change your sheets. Could you take the clothes out of the washer and put them in the dryer? They would do that and did not turn it on. I want you to grow. You know what I'm saying? Mildew. I'm going to tell you all this stuff. We tell you all this stuff. Or dirty laundry. Dirty laundry again. And so all these different things. Want them to grow. You don't want them to just stay where they are. You want them to grow into mature men and women of God. It's the truth. So we need to be connected. I'm closing. Today we have baptisms. The people are going to be baptized. Pastor Kevin's going to do baptism service. There's people who are being baptized today. They made a profession of faith. Not only did they make a profession of faith, but they're getting dunked into the water. We're going to baptize them. They're going to come up this is an outward sign of an inward reality of people getting baptized. It's a wonderful sight. Wonderful sight. You know, I'd encourage you to, because we do baptisms different. We pray over them. Sometimes give them prophetic words and different things like that. So they made it, but it doesn't stop there because baptism doesn't save you. Only Jesus can. Amen. We've told us to be baptized. Jesus was baptized. Why not do it? But at the same time, but it doesn't stop there because yes, it shows a cutoff of the old life and into the new. But that just coming out of the water signifies what God has done and the rejuvenation that happens in your spirit. But then you have to grow as a disciple and walk like, live like, talk like, be like Jesus. Amen. That's what God's called us to do. Is that true?
Yes.
Okay. Did you guys get that? Did you get that? Vision. We're gonna hear the word. We're gonna be people of the word. We need to trust God. And also turn-by-turn directions, be people of the word, lean in and lean on, not on your own understanding, lean on in his arms, and then you need to be connected. Say, I need to be connected. Can I, as I'm closing, you guys want to hear some good news?
Yeah.
Are you ready for some good news?
Yeah.
You guys aren't convinced. Are you ready for some good news?
Yeah.
That was good news, by the way, if you didn't know that was a sermon. That was a sermon. That was good news. I'm just going to tell you this. I'm not going to stray away from preaching to you the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth. I'm not going to stray away from that. I just like, oh, you care about my feelings? I do. Sometimes. I'm going to tell you the truth. We're going to speak the truth of the word of God in this church. We're not only going to speak the truth of the word of God, you need to hear the truth because once you hear the truth, it'll make you free. I'm not going to steer away and shy away from controversy. Some people, we had a kid, you had those kids that stepped their feet up to the line. Then I had a kid that would run through like chariots of fire. They run through the tape. You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to shy away from issues. We need to change the way that we think about all the things going on. I don't want this stuff creeping up into our church. I don't want lethargy and all that stuff creeping. I'm against critical race theory. I'm going to speak against that. We're not going to let the enemy take our children. We're not going to let the enemy take our state. We're not going to let the enemy take our nation. That's why I'm not going to shy away from abortion topic. I'm not going to shy away from that. We still need to stand on the word of God. Now, listen, there's grace there. If you had abortion, there's grace there, but we need to talk about it because the church outside is saying that it's okay and it's not. And we need to talk about these things. I'm going to tell you what the word of God says about everything. Yes. Marriage is between a man and a woman. I'm going to say the things that need to be said. We need to talk about this stuff because it's the church is getting lenient on that stuff. I'm telling you, it is not what God has said in the scriptures. I will not be. Last thing I'm going to say, and then I really am going to give you some good news. I will not be middle of the road on these things.
Amen.
Cannot be middle of the road. Amen?
Amen.
Because if you're middle of the road, then there's a broad road that leads to destruction. And I don't want you to be one that goes on the road to destruction. All right. Here's some good news. Our church, because of your generosity, our church, I probably should have started with this because now you're just like all stirred up and stuff. Anyway, We were able to give away over $600,000 this year, over $200,000 in missions, lovely ministries. You guys did a great job of giving lovely ministries, over like almost $7,000. We've given so much. Care Center, youth camp. You guys know how much you guys raised for the youth camp, which before when Vanessa put on youth camp, we didn't raise money, but there was $33,000 given just for our student ministry. That's amazing. You realize how amazing that is? We had 36 kids and 8 volunteers. It was great. You guys don't know this, but we have a benevolence fund. Some of you know that. We take up a benevolence fund, and we were able to give away our back to school. We give parents and single parents that in life groups. Now, here's the deal. To be able to get in on this benevolence fund, you have to be a part of a life group or anything. Any help that we have, how we pastor the church is through life groups. So if you're not connected and you had a death or you had some issues or whatever in the family, or whatever, we wouldn't know because you're not connected. That's how we pastor. I cannot pastor. We have whatever we have is one of 600, 500 people by myself. I have pastors, but our life group leaders help us pastor. Just so you know, that's how we do it. But we were able to give away back to over $4,500 at Christmas time. People in our body who had need, $4,100 given there, and needs a total of $30,000 given to people in our family, in our church body that have needs. Isn't that great? Give yourselves a hand. That's amazing. Acts Training School, Robbie Dawkins, we had 200 people from around the country each day. We were able to do that, hoping to do that again and help with that. 200 people being activated to go out and be the church to the unchurched. That's great. With boots on the ground, guys, I'm going to talk to you this. The women average about 65 ladies every event. The men average 59. Guys, we need to step up. But anyway, that's great. I mean, that's the participation. Listen, our healing prayer that we have every under Sunday, where is she not here this morning? Because I want to honor her. Linda Nicholas, who has been a faithful member for years, who prays and we pray, acknowledge some of them. Did Ann Heckenlaw believe? She's going, okay. The truth is that we have people praying. And some of these people are coming off the streets because we have signs out to say healing prayer. Listen, we've had over 150 people come in off the streets and get prayer for healing, for depression, we've had people healed of cancer. We've had people healed of big time diseases and different things that are going on. And that's 150 people. We have 25 people have been baptized. We have small groups all around the Metroplex. 12 babies dedicated to the Lord this year. And there will be more babies dedicated to the Lord. And I love about that. The reason why I love that is because you guys keep my wife job security because she's over the children's ministry. And so you guys keep having babies. Keep on having babies. And our free indeed, we've had over 105 people attend. People want to be free. I'm telling you, Sojourn Church, through you guys, through your generosity, things that you have given and the time and the energy and effort and volunteers and different things, you have blessed so many people. So I wanted to say, Vanessa, I want to say to you, thank you so much. Give yourselves a hand. You've done an amazing, amazing job. Now, as a closer, I want to say to you, thank you for all that you have done. I believe this year is going to be an amazing year. Yes. It is going to be an amazing year. But you just talked to us about all the bad news. I'm just telling you, the reason why I believe it's going to be a great year is because I read over in Genesis where it said that the people of Egypt were having all these plagues. But over there in the land of Goshen, God's people, they waxed strong. And they multiplied. And the more they afflicted them, the more they grew. And the more they afflicted them, the more they grew. So I believe that the more affliction that's coming upon this year, that we have said to the enemy, we're growing in God. We're growing. We're growing. The world gone crazy, but we're in Christ. If anyone be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have come new. I am in Christ. Anybody else in here in Christ? I'm in Christ, and Christ is in me, and he's the hope of glory. And I know that my God shall supply all of our needs according to his riches and glories by Christ Jesus. My God is an all-consuming fire. He is my Redeemer. He is my God. He's still on the throne, and he's doing amazing things here and in our church in Texas and in the Metroplex because he's a good God. Say he's a good God. He is. He's a good God. He's a great God. And so you need to be excited about that, because we're going to be all right. She's like, Pastor Chris, that's bad English. I don't care. We're going to be all right.